Blog Talk Radio.
what time it is.
Dramatic.
I just got to tell the truth.
I just got to tell the truth, man.
Hey, look at little Hey Roo. Smooth come through. Raw in the flesh. The hoodie tattoo. Black man, you're the sun. Shine on the galaxy. Mama be the earth. Birth new reality. It's all in you. Deep in the womb. Sold in the seed. Bring it full bloom. Be the light in the dark. Spark the creation. Cause ye are the gods. Raise the vibration. Divine elevation. Rise to occasion. Setting the example. Building the foundation. The nation. The king. Queen. Different deity. Supreme. The divinity. The all. My identity. The God in me.
Personification of God on earth.
It's not a mystery, God. Check your history, God. Like graffiti, it was written on the pyramid walls. Hieroglyphically carved. For the Greeks and the Romans, it was meant to be God. But then it went from woolly hair feet, the color of bronze, to this Caucasian version, blue-eyed and blonde. Don't know what side you want. They say it's God versus the devil, but I say the mind control. The hell in your heaven. Supreme mathematics, I be the number seven. Salvation ain't in the sky, it ain't in the reverend. It's ingrained in your essence, written in your DNA. Records, it's your ancestors.
Freeing me, getting me where I need to be. Not talking about deities, but something we can see. Like my swag when I'm on top of my beers, and when I talk with my kids, and when I walk with the spirit of the ancestors. I know that I'm blessed cause I come from the best. It's my honor and my armor so nobody can test. And I learned from my mistakes so I had to regret. Yeah, you looking at the G-O-D right here in the flesh.
As we come to the circle and we say Ashe, and we pour libation giving thanks and praise. The original way ain't nothing man-made. Ghetto gospel with a little tea pain.
Peace, 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 peace and Black Power family. Welcome to another episode of Do Knowledge Radio, the place where knowledge is born. This is your host, Knowledge Born Allah, and this is our Black Prosperity Thursday episode. And we have the honor and privilege of bringing forth this warrior goddess who comes to us in the righteous and divine name of Goddess Ayana Divine. That phone number to call in is 515-605-9360. Again, 515-605-9360. Press 1 with your questions or your comments. Becomes my honor and privilege at this time to introduce to some and present to others tonight's guest live here on Do Knowledge Radio. The lovely and honorable goddess Ayana Divine is in the building.
Peace, peace. Hope everyone is doing good this evening.
still, and everybody should be doing good. They jumping for joy and all that. You know what I'm saying?
Righteous, righteous.
What? How your trip going? You know what I'm saying? I seen you like jumping over people's fences and stealing their fruit and stuff. You know what I'm saying?
No, I'm in Miami. I'm having a beautiful time. I should be linking up with Young Pharaoh and his queen later on this evening, alongside a friend of mine. My friend who I'm staying at, whose house I'm staying at, she's got mangoes, coconuts, and avocados in her backyard. So I've just been eating mostly mangoes since I've been down here. I'm just really enjoying myself in my summer.
That's what's up. Bringing that love and light down there to Dade County. My son gonna be down. He's going to the U the end of the month, so he'll be down there in Miami.
Okay, that's what's up. That's what's up.
That's right. One down, three to go. You know what I mean? All right. So we always start off with like an introduction. You know what I mean? So take as long or as little as you like to introduce yourself to the family, even though, you know, everybody across the world know who you is, you know what I'm saying? To acquaint our listening audience for who you are.
Righteous, righteous. Well, I'm a community activist. I do most of my work in Jackson, Mississippi. When I'm there, I'll be moving back there, and I'm going back to school to Jackson State University in the fall. I work with several organizations. I've been doing that all my life, really. I grew up being a community activist, doing lots of work in my community. But I am well known for a video I did on YouTube talking about polygamy and why I thought polygamy would benefit the Black family. I'm an astrologer. I'm a crystal jeweler. Anything with my hands, I can do it. I'm teaching myself to sew. I can do a little bit of carpentry. I love refurbishing furniture. I love tiling. I like renovating homes. So just like anything with my hands, I'm pretty handy and creative. But yeah, and I'm a mother, and I homeschool my children. My children are 5 and 3. My daughter's a Taurus. She's 5, and my son is an Aries, and he's 3. And yeah, you know, I just do a little bit of a lot. But yeah.
That's what's up. 5 and 3. My youngest 2 is 6 and 3.
Aww.
2 young warriors.
Right.
My oldest son, 18. My daughter, 15. And my youngest son, 6 and 3. They warlords. I don't even know how old they are, to be honest. You know what I'm saying? I know they got this down packed. It's like they 25th time here, so they good. They don't need me for nothing. You know what I'm saying?
That's real. That's
yeah.
Real.
They just need me not to lie to
you.
You know, yeah, we be trying to hide shit like they're not going to find out. You know what I'm saying? Like they're asking questions because they don't know. You know what I'm saying? I love them. You know what I mean? Children that set you straight, that's like the ultimate lie detector right there. You know what I mean? Because they can't lie. They don't even know what it is yet. Now, connection's already acting up.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. So as far as your work, from community activism, was that something as what you do as far as an astrologer? Is that something you've always been into, or was it something you got into as a late? You know, can you describe that process?
Well, I actually grew up mostly going back and forth from South Korea. I spent 13 years of my life in my younger years, you know, basically being raised in South Korea, and so I was around Eastern medicine, you know. I was around that culture. I was around culture of energy works, going in the mountains and the Buddhist temples, and, you know, like a really very spiritual atmosphere. Even though it's a very big city, it's very, you know, Seoul, Korea is very in tune with the natural rhythms and cycles of, and and they do identify themselves by blood type, their zodiac, the Chinese zodiac. And so I was always aware that I was an Aquarius, and I always felt very, very Aquarius because I felt very weird and awkward in social scenes, but I felt like I had a lot of friends. Like, I didn't belong to one group, but I was friends with every group, if you can dig. So I already identified like that. Once I started getting, like, a higher physical consciousness, because I've always been kind of spiritually in tune, in 2012, I started diving more into, that was like my massive awakening, and that's when I started diving. I gave up religion, started diving more into the sciences. I got into spirit science, which is a thing on YouTube. I'm sure you've seen it, like a cartoon. And once I got into that, I started getting into crystals, astrology, and metaphysics, numerology, the science of crystals, cymatics. I love quantum physics, and just, you know, listening to lectures on quantum physics and trying to read books on it, even though it's always really hard. But just going forward, my awakening, once I actually read my natal chart, started on cafeastrology.com, and I just read about all the aspects because I couldn't yet read it. Everything was so spot on, and I identified with myself and started understanding myself at such a deep level. It gave me a sense of self-love and appreciation for myself because I really realized my talents. I was like, oh my goodness, this really is a talent, even though it really comes bullcrap, you know, energy with it. So I just started fine tuning myself, and I felt like I used it as a tool to rapidly evolve myself. I felt like I started evolving very, very fast. I started getting rid of a lot of people in my circle, and I started, like, you know, just becoming a better person and having the intent, using my intent and focusing on knowing that I'm creating my reality at every moment with every thought that I think, and just harnessing my thoughts and trying to focus my thoughts on anything that was better, myself, my community, or my family, you know. So, and from that, I also use astrology on the daily to understand the energies that are going on and prepare myself. And just, you know, over the years, I've been reading natal charts since about 2014, so just about 3 years now. Astrology is such an amazing tool. It's so powerful. And I just feel like everyone really should be learning astrology in the elements in elementary school. We should all understand our natal charts. By the time we're in middle school, we should be able to compare our charts to other people, to understand our chemistry with other people. By high school, by the time we graduate, we should be able to apply astrology to the stock market and planning things and kind of knowing how to plan our life and use the energy to capitalize off those energies for our benefit, rather than, you know, letting the energies, like, kind of dictate what goes on in our life. Because awareness is everything. If you can be aware of something, then you can manipulate your reality around that thing, you know. So yeah.
Bang him.
So yeah. This is interesting for me. What you just said, you described two parts of your experience in detail, just by detailing, you know, some of your interests. You know, when you think community activists, you think Black Panther. You understand what I'm saying? Like, so you think on that, you know, complete end of the spectrum, right? You could say Black Panther, right? A Black Panther. And then you see on this end, you're dealing with metaphysics. You see what I'm saying? Like, you know, one is hardline, hardcore revolutionary, and then one is, you know, beyond the physical. You see what I'm saying? So looking
right
beyond just the, you know, mundane, surface level, topical physicality experience, and the other one, it's like straight hardline, chopping devil's heads off. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
so,
right.
So the power to be able to do this community work better is centered from what you're saying, and based off of some of your interests, the marrying of the two. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of an anomaly, you know, with our people. So either you find the super crystal or you find the super beret wearer. You know what I mean? And it's like,
right,
you know, they're parallel. So how do you find a balance in though. They're both necessary and they're both great. So how do you bring those both together? And do you think, well, I'll wait to the second part. I'll wait to answer the first part because you might answer it already with the second.
Okay, so basically how do I bring the spiritual to the physical?
Yes.
So the way I use astrology in a more practical way is being able to read the charts and know what energies are going to be present at this time. So transitorily speaking, like, as the moon is moving now, knowing where that is to me is beneficial because I know what may be like the emotional need of the general population at the time. Wherever the moon, what sign the moon is in, is going to let me know what a lot of people kind of want on a basic level. So let's say if the moon was in Taurus, we'll know that, notice that the amount of people going to restaurants may be higher because Taurus deals with sensual satisfaction, so satisfying the five senses, so the tongue, satisfying the taste, feeling, you know, people may be more affectionate on those days. That's one way. Now, one way I make this really, like, financially practical is when Mercury is in, when Mercury is retrograde, everybody knows once you start getting astrology, everyone likes, oh my gosh, the dreaded Mercury retrograde. And
right.
Mercury retrograde, so we know not to sign contracts during Mercury retrograde. Don't, if you're meeting somebody for the first time during Mercury retrograde, things may not be exactly what they seem. You don't want to get in relationships necessarily, start new relationships when Mercury's retrograde. You really don't want to start new things in general and as it pertains to business, information, data exchanges, social media. I wouldn't stop myself if I already had something really, really major planned out, but I wouldn't really travel things where plan things where people would have to travel to, because travel can get really kind of chaotic during Mercury retrograde. And so in that way, I would know, like, if something came up, like an opportunity, that I need to just wait it out. And when I wait it out, I'm always like, oh my goodness, I'm so glad I did not jump on that because it didn't turn out to be exactly what I thought it was. Now, on a financial tip as well, when I see that Jupiter is in my second house, like right now, I would know I could capitalize off of the energy of expansion, indulgence, luxury in my second house. And I've noticed since Jupiter's been in the second house, I've been taking kind of luxurious trips, extravagant trips, you know, doing things that I usually wouldn't be able to afford. But because Jupiter is here, he's blessing me, you know, and being able to give me such abundant luxury right now in life. I'm just living la vida loca right now. So I know I can capitalize off of that. Now, like, let's say if Jupiter was in Gemini, or let's say even when Mars is in Gemini, for me, that's in my career house. So I know that I need to be very, very active and putting a lot of social media out there. And I know that if I'm trying to attract finances, I'll make sure to contour my social media around shooting it to my business. So I'll talk about my website a lot, or I'll talk about astrology a lot. I'll talk about jewelry, crystals, and things like that, you know, when Mars or Jupiter or even Venus, I like when Venus gets in my 10th house too. Well, when Venus gets in my 10th house, I like to talk more about love. I put a lot of information about love and how I feel about Black love and relationships, how we should love each other, our children, you know, our reflections in one another as a Black man and a Black woman, you know. So, but yeah, I just know how to kind of capitalize off the energies. I know when things are going to kind of get aggravated. I even studied the charts of the days that a lot of our Black leaders got assassinated, like Martin Luther King Jr., Malcolm X, Edgar Evers. And I noticed that on those days, Saturn was always either in a harsh aspect to the sun or the moon. So the Saturn was either opposing or squaring the sun or the moon on those days. And all of those days had that exact same thing in common. And so just understanding that and understanding the energies that are going to be present during certain times can prepare you for certain situations. And you know, the better prepared you are, you know, the better the situation usually tends to come about. Now, it's not saying that you can necessarily dictate, oh, this is going to happen exactly then, but you can say, oh, on this day, the energies will be present. So it's not like you're foreseeing the future. You're not foretelling the future with astrology. You're using the science of, okay, this planet is here affecting this energetically wise, you know, energetically speaking, on this level, it's going to have this frequency, this vibration on that day. And, you know, just using that and understanding that as a science can help us as human beings navigate this physical world, this planet called Earth, so much better.
So using that law of correspondence, huh? So because this is happening, boom, boom, boom. No?
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Okay, what did you say? I'm sorry.
I was talking about the law of correspondence.
Okay.
I was saying, like, that's kind of like a premise of what you were saying, like, you know, using that law of correspondence. And because these things are happening in the positioning of the moon, boom, it may have these effects. So you use these, maximize on where that's at, and, you know, you move accordingly.
Hello?
Yes, can you hear me?
I'm sorry, you went in and out for a moment. I didn't get the last part.
Oh, it's okay. The second part of that question is I see, like, the goddesses have more of an inclination towards... This is just an observation. This is not a fact. You know, I see the goddesses have more of an inclination towards astrology and more so the brothers. Is that a fact, or is that, you know, could you venture to say why that is?
Wow, I haven't really noticed that. But you know what? I think women do kind of lean towards astrology more because we're more connected to the moon. So we've got this big luminary body that we know is affecting us. So because we already have this connection with the moon, it's kind of easier for us to understand the cycles and the flows of the other planets in regards to us as well. So I think that's why women are more naturally inclined. We're a little bit more intuitive. When you tell somebody who doesn't really know about the science of astrology that the stars and the planets are affecting you, and, you know, they're kind of like, what? Like, they're just placed there. But that's the disconnection of the European mindset. It's like it's so disconnected, as if we aren't the same thing that is reflected to us in whatever situation, environment we're in. We are all of that. We are ourselves, and we are the outside looking at ourselves, and we are the inside looking at the outside. You know what I'm saying? We're all connected. So I think women, we have a little bit more connectedness because we go through our cycles physically. You know, we physically go through cycles every month. And so I think that because of that, we can understand the cycles of the planets circling around the sun and how that affects us. I think we're a little bit more apt to feel like that feels right to us. It feels like, yeah, I think that moon is affecting me. It feels like, yeah, I think the planets could be affecting my mood right now. So I think that may be why.
Okay, and you use some terminology. Could you describe what those are?
Okay, so the natal chart is the basic 360-degree chart, and it's charting out where the planets and the sun and the luminaries were at the time of your birth. The luminaries would be the sun and the moon. They're the things that are lighting up the sky or the lighting up the planet for us. Even though the moon is just reflecting. But yeah, so you're just basically seeing a screenshot, a snapshot, if you will, of where all the planets were at the time of your birth. What were the energies present at the time of your entrance into this dimension, into this planet at that time? So and those energies are always going to be with you. They're going to always be expressed through you. And it's basically like a signature of the soul to me. You know, I can see the signature, but that doesn't necessarily mean I know everything about you. I can see the infrastructure of somebody when I look at. I can see the blueprints of somebody's building and foundation when I'm looking at the natal chart. But I don't know how they necessarily decorated the walls. Like I can't see that. I can just see the blueprint. But yeah, that's basically the natal chart. And anytime we're looking at astrology, we're looking at a chart. We want to look at where the planets are and see the angles and the aspects that the planets have with one another when we're looking at the chart. And there's different charts, but the 360-degree natal chart is the regular chart that you'll see.
That's a perfect segue to where I wanted to go. But before we go there, do you ascribe to sidereal astrology at all?
Sidereal. I got a sidereal reading when I started probably back in like 2015, and it didn't ring as authentic to me. However, I do understand that, mathematically speaking, it's supposed to be more accurate-wise when it's coming, as it pertains to actual location. But I don't know. For me, Western astrology has always rung the most true. I know it comes from, it's coming straight out of Africa as well. So, I mean, all of this information is coming out of Africa, and I feel like this everything is connected. I can't vibe with the Yusuke's thing. I feel like that was like New Age throw off tactic or whatever, because we always have known Yusuke is there. The Egyptians, the Kemites have revered Yusuke's, but that's not a constellation in the 12, outside of the 12. And there's a lot of constellations outside of the 12. There's 24 outside of that, and there's more outside of that. And really, you can divvy it up into even different sections than just the sections that we have, and it'll still have the certain energies that are, present in those parts of the sky. But we, we already have it graphed out in the way of Aries through Pisces, and those, the energy, the explanation of the energies, to me, are very authentic. But I think if you got a Vedic astrology reading, it would ring authentic because they've attributed certain parts of the sky to certain energies. And even though it doesn't line up exactly with Western astrology, they're very much similar to me. So just for me, I like Western. I'll probably be getting more into, African, ancient Egyptian astrology soon. I just need to order some books and get a feel for that. I already in my mind, I connected certain signs with certain mythologies, and that's actually helped me understand astrology better. Even understanding astrology has helped me understand ancient Egyptian mythology better, because I know what deities are, what zodiac sign, and I'm like, oh, this is that energy. Okay, so when they're talking about this god, they're talking about this type of energy, and so because of that, because of astrology, I can even understand our history better, and I really like that connection with astrology. With astrology, I can understand music better, the circle of fifths, and even that relates with different, different notes relate to different zodiac signs, and even just going off the elements, you can make a song, just want to say, okay, I want to tap into the water element and the earth element, and, when you just play off of the keys that go along with those elements and those zodiac signs, you'll be like, oh, wow, it's really, melodic, because the earth element and the water element are compatible. They're very complementary energies to each other. And just, even being able to play music off of using astrology to me is just crazy and amazing and divine and magical. And it just really, really puts me back in tune with the magic of the universe, life, and just being,
Bam, bam, bam. Alright. So now I wanted to go into the business, the entrepreneurial venture that is Goddess Ayana Divine. You got more hustlers than the Jamaican, you know what I'm saying?
gotta get it how you live. You feel me?
Right. So, yes. What brought you into the realm of entrepreneurism, and can you tell us about your brand and products and services that you offer to the family? Boom, boom, boom.
Sure. Entrepreneurship. The reality that I could be an entrepreneur came about with my ex-husband. His mother had four children, and at the age of 21, she owned a house and a funeral home. And I was like, oh, my goodness, oh, wow. And it's still going. They still run the funeral home. Their family is known in Mississippi for their funeral homes. And just seeing that gave me a lot of motivation seeing his mother and how amazing she was and how creative she was. And she was a Cancer. My mom's a Cancer. Cancer was just so creative. And she actually taught me a lot about creating jewelry. She taught me how to tile. Because of her, I know how to, like, do things around the house, like renovations. I know how to sew because of her. I know how to, I can attribute my ex-husband's mom a lot to my success. Shout out to Paulette. I love you. Because of her, I was like, okay, so the reality, I can be an entrepreneur because all my life I was like, oh, you have to get loans. You have to go to school. You have to have a degree to have a business. You have to be in business for years. And you have to have this super high credit score. And I was like, oh, so I could just do this thing. And I was pregnant with my son in Orlando. And my ex-husband, who was a music engineer, can do robotics engineering. He's going to school. I think he's going to graduate for computer engineering. I'm not too sure. Computer engineering or, yeah, that one. And he was a music engineer. He recorded a lot of people. And I saw his hustle. And so when I was like, oh, you got a hustle? Like, let's go then. So I just started making jewelry. And I was just, practicing and trying to sell on Etsy. I was pregnant, so I wasn't getting out of the house much. I was just going to school in Orlando for massage therapy. And as I transitioned from Orlando to Memphis at the time, I started selling things. Like, things actually started selling. My jewelry actually started selling. And I really started trying to make money off of crystals jewelry because I wanted crystals. Like, I was like, I want all these crystals. I can't afford these crystals. Right at that time, my ex-husband was working, and I was at home with my daughter, and pregnant, and only going to massage school, which is really being pampered every night, So I was like, yo, I gotta make a little hustle because Orlando is not cheap, and we lived in a really nice part of Orlando. We lived in Winter Park, so just going from there, I just started cultivating my skills and really seeing business take off, especially after my video on polygamy took off in 2015. I had one of my friends reposted it on my Facebook, and it was at 300,000 views. And this is going from barely getting 20 views on YouTube talking about yoni eggs to 300,000 views on Facebook. And I was like, oh, lit now. You need to, like, because my ex-husband's web designer too. So he web designed, he graphic designs. I was like, you need to make my logo. You need to put up this website for me. And he did all that. And then, so, I was very fortunate to have a man in my life that had the skills to really invest his skills into me and help cultivate my own skills, and it definitely started paying off, definitely on YouTube. YouTube was paying pretty nicely at the time for me. And so just, having that even just now realizing it, like having a man like my ex-husband who was so talented, so intelligent, and so skillful, I had to be, pretty bomb. I just had to be pretty bomb. I had too much bombness around me, too much creativity, too much skilled people, people with so much knowledge. And I'm just really crafty. I always like to make things with my hands. So I was just like, let's go. Let's build it. I have a lot of Capricorn energy. So I love doing things with my hands and creating with my hands. But, yeah, so.
Hold on, I owe you some bombs. You said all this bomb stuff was going on.
Yeah.
So that's Blacktastic, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Other than Venus, you know what I'm saying? I guess we could get into the body of the subject for the time that we have left. In regards to Black love, I saw one of the many videos I was watching during my Goddess Ayana binge. You know what I'm saying? I think I watched like 80 videos. You know what I'm saying? So, in regards to Black love, and I heard terms throughout with nation building, and you know, you artfully went through a lot of different scenarios and from perspectives you know you wouldn't expect. So you know, it's causing you to think critically, and you know, just kind of divorcing yourself emotionally, and just you know, really figuring that it's more to the story than just how you feel or what you see. You know what I mean? So I think that was a kind of accurate surmise of, you know, what I saw through like 50 million videos I was watching, you know what I'm saying? Trying to, you know, get prepared. Black Love, can you talk about it? Because I know you, the main thing that really set it off, you see, I saw a post you made like, hey, you know, these are the things I love about the black man. Black men, name something that you love about us. You know what I mean? And then,
right.
And then I got like a lot of textbook answers I saw. You know what I'm saying? A lot of, you know, I'm looking for all type of thing. You see what I'm saying? But I didn't see anything that really struck me as personal. You see what I'm saying? Like something that's personal to where you know that the person that conveyed that message said it from their spirit, from their soul. You know, it's just a lot of, you know, this sounds cool type of thing. You see what I'm saying? So can we delve into the realm of black love and how astrology plays this, you know, role in, you know, helping, you know, our people regain that spiritual essence that is black love? Because, you know, just from my vantage point, love is a spiritual thing, you know, that we physically experience, but, you know, has its roots and its essence in spirit. So,
righteous. I love black love. It's like my favorite topic. I love love. I'm such a romantic. If we want to use the Roman word, whatever, you know, I just love love. It's a beautiful thing. I think it's so healing, so powerful. And the love that the black man and the black woman has for each other, that's the most powerful thing in the universe. And I really feel like that's one of the things that's been most attacked by European society and Western culture. Is they've really, really been trying to tear our families apart, turn us against each other. And you know, the black woman is a powerful tool. You know, she'll be your worst enemy or your best friend, your best asset. You feel me? And I think all black men understand the range of the black woman. But in knowing that, you've got to know the black woman's power and respect it and appreciate it. And in that, we reflect back to you the respect and appreciation of the black man's power. We got the most powerful man on the planet. I love the black man. Nobody is like our man. Nobody has the quality of love and affection that the black man has, and the creativity and the swag. The whole world looks to the black man for their swag. It's an amazing thing. I love black men. I get so excited when I talk about black men. Oh my God, I love it. I love it. But yeah, just and using astrology, like, it would be so beneficial for us to look into the synastry and the composite charts of astrology. And synastry charts would be taking two natal charts, placing it on top of each other, and seeing how somebody else's planet interacts with the other person's planet. Say, like, oh, where is this sun's planet compared to this sun's planet? Or where is the sun compared to their Venus? Like, what is that? What is the interaction with their behaviors to how this person likes to show affection? Let's see, what are these angles? Are these good angles? Are these trines? Are these sextiles? Is what good angles? Are these harsher, more dynamic angles, like flares and oppositions? We got to see what's going on, you know? So when we do that, we have a better understanding of how the science of the chemistry of these two people's energy are going to interact with each other. And I think if we looked at these charts, if we understood the synastry chart, if we understood the composite chart, or if we got compatibility readings, we had somebody, you know, kind of explaining or going online and just looking up the compatibilities according to the stars and the energy that were present in that person's at the time of the person's birth, we would be able to see how we'll end up interacting. Is this a good business partner? Is this a good in my life? How is this person going to affect me? Like, what are they going to bring out of me? We're going to look at that Mars and that Sun. Where are they really going to provoke me to be external? Where are they going to externalize my energy? I'm going to look at where the Sun and Mars are on your chart. How are they going to show me affection? Are the ways that I show affection compatible with the ways that they show affection? Let me look at that Venus. Let me look and see how they're interacting with each other. Let me see where the sign Taurus and Libra are on each chart and see where those, how those coincide. Let me see what's in the fourth house. Are the fourth houses compatible? Is this a couple that's going to be able to live together or not? Like, let me see the moons. How are the moons speaking to each other? Are they compatible? Because how I am when I'm emotional, it's so much more important to me than the sun sign. When it comes to compatibility, how I am emotionally, I need you to be able to receive that. I need you to be able to also send out an energy that will nurture me and cultivate me. So I need to see if your Venus and your moon are compatible with my moon sign. I'm going to make sure your Mars ain't agitating my moon, because if your Mars is agitating my moon, this may not work because I'm a hothead already. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to look at these aspects. I got to understand, and through understanding myself, I got to be able to understand you and how you're going to affect me and how I'm going to affect you. And we can do this through astrology. We can see sexual compatibility. What's Mars and Pluto doing in that chart? What that Mars doing? You know what I'm saying? Is your Mars in a water sign? If your Mars is in a water sign, you're going to want somebody whose Mars is in an earth sign. If your Mars is in fire, you're going to want somebody whose Mars is in the air sign. You know, just looking at certain aspects and kind of learning these aspects and just looking at the people that you've dated and seeing where they land in your chart. What are the similarities? Are you going through these karmic cycles that you can actually see in your chart when you see, oh, this person, I keep getting these people that their sun touches my Saturn, or their this touches my Saturn. It's like a major planet is always touching my Saturn. And I've got karmic issues. Like, I got to get out this karmic thing with Saturn, okay? I got to heal this part of my life. So I even use astrology to reflect back to myself. I'm attracting these type people. I'm attracting these type people. I'm attracting a lot of people coming in my eighth house. What's going on? I'm attracting a lot of people in my eighth house. Okay, I'm attracting a lot of people in my 10th house. This is my career. Is just buzzing. I can see where I'm attracting people. And then I look to the stars and I'm like, okay, well, the sun is in this house right now. And this is why I'm attracting so much energy here. So I can cultivate this and try to use this for the higher, for the good, or I can slip to the lower and let it aggravate me in whatever ways it could be aggravating. I try to transmute that using astrology. I can see where I can transmute that to get the higher lesson, so that whatever karmic debt I'm trying to pay off, it's the load is lightened, you know, just by understanding astrology. But yeah, so yeah, we can use it when in relationships. We should use astrology when it comes to our children. I have to look to my children's chart sometimes to try to understand, okay, where are they coming from right now? Why are they so upset? Oh my gosh, Aaron, what is going on? Okay, something's agitating something in Libra. Your moon sign is on fleek today. You know, my son has a moon in Libra. So if I know if Jupiter's retrograde in Libra, his emotions are going to be a little bit extra. And we did go through that when Jupiter was retrograding. Aaron's emotions were just a little bit high, just a little bit on the high side. So I can just look to astrology and I can understand my children better, and that can help me like not be so agitated, or that can help me like really understand how I should be showing them affection. Okay, right now they're going through a lot, like things are touching their eighth house and they're like experiencing like these traumas, or they're like thinking back to when, you know, a mommy and daddy may have had an argument and they want to talk about it. And I'm like, okay, this is in their eighth house. So we're going to deal with these issues right now. We're going to talk about it. And because I know that, because I can look to the stars and say, oh, okay, this is how this is, these planets and these energies are affecting my children right now. Let me use that and see that. And I'm going to make sure I'm using my intention to send them energy in that area in the most loving way, in the way that will grow them the most and nurture them the most as their mother, because I want to be that nurturing divine, you know, mother for my children. And I can use that. I can use astrology as a tool to help me be a better mother. And that's one of the things I just love about astrology. You can just use it in so many parts of life, you know, but you got to do the work. It's just an awareness, you know, it's just an awareness, but it definitely helps you do the work. If you're willing to take the lessons.
Bam, bam, the bam, 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 bam. Dropping all of them jewels. You ain't tell me you was a jeweler. You know what I'm saying? Coming through with all the jewels. Got all jewel-tastic, you know what I'm saying, on the fly, eating the mangoes. You got to eat all the mangoes on the planet, you know what I'm saying? Because the mango thing is packed with the jewel.
You know? Right, dude.
Yeah, definitely. Now, I saw
a couple of different videos that you had on polygamy, polyandry, polygyny. From your initial video, the one that went African, because you know we all over the planet. You know what I'm saying? I don't like saying viral.
Okay, okay.
You know what I'm saying? The one that went African. You know what I'm saying? And spread
right.
all over. You know. Has your views changed since then? And if so, how so?
I think my views on polygamy, polygyny, polyandry, polyamory have matured since that video. And I think I've been blessed and privileged to have friends that are in, have several friends in successful polygynous relationships, and I can look at them and see, okay, this is how you work this out, or if I have questions, I'll ask them. But I've also had a lot of women come to me, and even brothers, and ask me for advice, or even tell me horror stories of being in polygamous relationships. But so I've seen a lot of really beautiful things in polygamy and really detrimental things. And I think because of those things, I have definitely like wanted women to be very more cautious as to the reasons why you want to be in a polygamous relationship. You know, let's be really honest. If you're not ready for that, you don't need to put yourself into that, because, you know, you'll have a lot of resentment on the man and even as the other women involved if you really feel inside that you're not ready. But if you're trying to do that and push yourself because maybe your king really wants that, then that's being really dishonest to yourself and to the women that are coming into the situation. I've seen, you know, brothers take advantage of the situation. I'm seeing it rampantly now, like brothers really taking advantage of the openness of the black women coming into consciousness. You know, they're stepping in and they're like, okay, this is out of my comfort zone, but I want to learn more about polygamy. I want to learn more about polygyny. And they end up in their first polygynous relationship or courting situation, and it's absolutely for the wrong reasons. They don't feel good in it. It's not feeling comfortable. Something's wrong. And some of them will stick around and stay and try to see, because even some of these sisters may feel desperate. I'm like, sisters, you definitely don't want to do a polygynous relationship or get into a relationship at any time. A lot of the rules that apply to polygamy apply to regular relationships. Don't get into a relationship when you feel like you're desperate. Don't do that. You need to make sure that you're secure enough within yourself and even in your environment, so that if you ever need to separate yourself from a situation, you can do that. You don't want to put yourself in harm's way. A lot of women, a lot of us, even myself included, have put myself in a situation where I'm like, no. Me, on the other hand, I'll get in the whip real fast, and it's nothing. But, you know, I know other women, you know, I always have my grandma's house. If anything else, I have my grandma's house to go to. And I know a lot of women don't even have that. And because of that, I just ask that the sisters be more mindful of their own intentions and their own reasoning for getting into a polygamous relationship. Are you getting there for the man because he wants that, or are you getting there because you really genuinely want other sisters in your life? You want to build with other sisters. You want to live with other sisters. You want to be able to have experiences with other sisters and raising children and building a community, trying to really build an empire. I really feel like, honestly, polygyny is for men that can afford polygyny. And I think polyandry is for the brothers who want to be in a community situation and want to pull money in. I think polyandry may be a way for brothers to, if you want to do a situation when you don't have that much money, that's more where you should lean. Because I think sisters, if the brother can't afford to pay his own rent without you, if he's bringing sisters in because he needs these sisters financially, it's not going to work, because it's going to be too much pressure on the women. Women, we just want to be at home. Like, we want to be women. We want to be women again. You know, we want to be at home. We want to raise our children. A lot of these conscious women are stay-at-home entrepreneurs. I'm a stay-at-home entrepreneur. You know, I don't have a job. I haven't had to work since 2013. And I make enough to do whatever it is that I do, you know what I'm saying? And so when we think of, like, skills at home, sometimes it takes time to cultivate those skills and build businesses from the home. So I think that brothers should invest queens, but they should also be able to house their queens within the home if they're trying to do polygyny. But, yeah, and I think if you put it on a polygynous tip, If you put it in a situation where the men have to be able to afford polygyny, then I think that the competitive nature of men would kind of push men to rise and be like, oh, if I can get more. One, like, you know, black men love black women. You know what I'm saying? The black men want black women. So I think if we set the standard to, okay, you need to be able to do this, and I don't give a fuck about what the government is doing right now. I don't give a fuck about the system. You are God, right? Let me see you in your godhood. Let me see you, you know, work that godhood for real. Like, because I know the brothers can do it, and it's nothing but to put your mind to it. It's just focus. And once we start, you know, pushing our brothers to do better in that aspect, I think that we'll feel a lot of release. I think that we'll be able to, you know, relinquish so much of the masculine energy and maybe balance back our masculine and feminine energy, because, you know, as black women, we get jobs easier than our men, and that's hard on our men. But we need our men to start creating the jobs and stop trying to find jobs, you know. Just create your job. Yeah, work until you can sustain yourself with your own hustle, but you need to be trying to wean yourself off of somebody else's job, somebody else's income. You need, and your women should be helping you. I think that a lot of sisters are back here like, damn, come on, like, I want to see you win. Like, I want to see you get your own business. I want to see you really do this thing. There's a lot of black women that are rooting for black men that love to see black men succeed. And there's a lot of sisters that would be beneficial to black men and be assets to black men. But I think that a lot of us have been, you know, we've been taught to devalue women to the point where we feel like having a lot of brothers feel like having a woman is a burden. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, having a woman is a burden upon them. They don't even see that how a woman could benefit them if the woman isn't pulling in as much income as them. It's like, they're like, I don't know. But yet they want submissive women. They want soft women. But, you know, when you're kind of forcing us to be hard, it's hard to be hard soft whenever you want it. You know what I'm saying? So we just have to get in a better position, I think, resource-wise. And I've seen brothers that don't make much, but they know how to invest their money in land. So they have acres of land making $40,000 a year, but they own their trailer on their land, and they're growing food, and they're doing very well for themselves because they've really invested into the resources that it takes to really maintain an empire, to have an empire. You know, I think a lot of brothers, when they think of, you know, when sisters are like, you need to be able to provide, you need to be able to afford, they think straight to money, and that's not the case. We're talking brains here. You need to be able to get the money and invest it in the right things. Stop, you know, getting paying rent in apartments and start working on getting a house, you know, even owning a house versus just paying a mortgage on it. You know, got to start thinking about things like that and different ways to build homes. Okay, we can't afford a $100,000 house right now, but if I can afford some land and I can afford some equipment to build a different way of a home, like anywhere that there's clay really prevalent, why aren't we building clay homes, clay domes, and building off of that and learning skills like that? And, you know, you could put an AC and whatever else you want in there. You could build it into the ground so you don't won't need AC. You know, there's different ways we can even be thinking about how to sustain a family. But, you know, we're so boxed in that when you say you need to be able to provide for me, the brothers are thinking, oh, just financially, just money, let me get a job. No, I'm not talking about job, brother. We're talking about mental wealth just as much. You need to be able to be innovative. Use that melanin. Use that nine ether and be innovative in the way that we create homes so that if we can't afford it financially, well, skillfully, we can afford it. We can afford it with our skills, with our hands, with our time, with our energy, you know. And once we start thinking about, you know, family structure in a way of, okay, well, we're just going to start building in a different way. We're going to build from the ground. We're going to use the ground, and we're going to learn these skills. And I think that the dynamic of the perception of affordability and providing will be a little bit different and hopefully more expanded. You know, I just want to expand the minds of what we view as community, as what we view as a home, even the house structure, the squares, the 90-degree angles that are not conducive to the flow of energy. You know, but yeah, we just got to get more innovative and got to understand science more to create healthier living situations for families. But yeah, my views have matured, as you see, but I'm definitely still very open to all the forms of polygamy. And I've seen them practice indigenously and always, poly relationships practice always indigenously. And I always find that the way the indigenous people do it is so beautiful. But they always have an elder system that we really lack here in America. And so it's almost like we have to be our own elders, and like use the internet to help us have wisdom. You know, we have to seek elders out, you know, to see if we're doing things properly or to help guide us, you know, into and honoring these relationships as tools and bondings and the connections and the unifying mechanisms that they are, and make sure that we're using that and doing that the best benefit of the Black community.
What they call it? Sapio? Sapio? What they call it?
Sapio sexual?
Oh, man. Hey, the goddess Ayan Divine is off the chain, fam. That's all I got to say, man. That's all I got to say. You know what I mean? I definitely wanted to be respectful to the time, and I definitely appreciate you coming through and showing that love, and got to leave room for another conversation, you know what I'm saying? So we could really get into some more things, you know what I'm saying? Hopefully we get the goddess in our network, you know what I mean, over here. So we ain't got to do the drive by, you know what I'm saying? You know, I definitely want to thank you for your time. So any final thoughts, any acknowledgments, any shout-outs, don't forget to plug any all your social media and where the people can reach you for your products, for your services, all of that. Floor is yours.
For sure. So check me out on Instagram at Divine Stargate, DivineStarGate. You can check me out on Facebook, Goddess Ayana, or Ayana Divine. Ayana Divine is my personal page. It's usually maxed out, so make sure you like my like page at Goddess Ayana. And definitely check out my website, www.godpiece.com. That's GodPiece.com, where you can get your crystal jewelry. I will have body products back up on in this fall. I'll start that back up in the fall. But you can also get natal chart readings and compatibility readings, and they range in price. I have very affordable readings, so even one-on-one live readings that last for about an hour. So check that out once again at godpiece.com, and make sure you like, subscribe, comment, and vibe to my YouTube channel, Goddess Ayana.
Bam, bam. Thank you for your time, Goddess. Enjoy the mangoes out there, you know what I'm saying? And I'm going to finish binge watching, you know, the rest of these videos that I got, you know what I'm saying, on deck. And I'll be looking out for the lives, you know what I'm saying? Getting myself righteous over here, you know what I mean? Thank you for your time.
All right.
And safe travels
you.
Back to, you know, Mississippi, too.
Will do. All right, peace.
All right, family, that was the Goddess Ayana Divine. Make sure y'all subscribe to her YouTube channel. She gave out her IG information, and check out the website, www.godpiece.com. And, you know, spend some of that currency, you know, with our sister. You know what I mean? She came on, gave a fantastic presentation, chock full of jewels and righteousness. And if you like what you heard, you can subscribe to our show here, www.blogtalkradio.com/ Do the Knowledge Radio. That's DothaKnowledgeRadio. Check us out at our hub site, www.dothaKnowledgeUniversity.com. You can follow the show on Twitter at KnowledgeForum15. Again, that's at KnowledgeForum15. And looking to be a guest on our platform. We are on 7 days a week. You could email me at newknowledgeradio@gmail.com. So don't forget to check us out tomorrow, Cool Kim Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Chief Priest of Enisu Tribe, Unkpi Nu, will be in the building dealing with authentic Kemetic spirituality, foremost authority on Kemet and all things dealing with Kemetic and spiritual traditions. That's again 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This Saturday we'll be on with KT The Arts Degree at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and on Sunday, National Recruiting Drive for the Black Radical Liberation Party, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So with that, I'm going to say peace, love, black power, and we will see you tomorrow.
Yeah, the pros and cons of mass. I don't see any cons. Mass exodus, if you look at it with the reality that all of us will not go. We left Africa hundreds of years ago, and because of the brutality of slavery, we were forced to leave Africa mentally. See, we got to first mentally get back to being Africans again, then spiritually get back to being Africans again, then we can physically become Africans without any problem.
If exodus the answer, tell me where we about to travel to.
Tell me where.
Do you got a passport to leave from off your avenue?
Huh?
Most of us ain't left from out the city we was born.
Haven't.
And imagine moving to another continent where everything is foreign to you.
Man.
Might be your native tongue, but you don't know it, do you?
Don't know
lost
it, do
in this world with no tradition till they show them to you.
You see?
Watch history get repeated, man. If we don't maneuver, gotta make a choice for the babies later rather sooner. Researching where the land, I heard some rumors.
Heard some
they
rumors.
Say we more American than African. Might be the truest, you're a westernized mind, but my passion deeply rooted. Trying to find my origins, I'm seeking out solutions. Revenge rules, rebels for retribution, you hear them shooting.
Right.
It sounds just like the first,
so happy New Year's.
I'm saluting all my troopers in the streets, my revolution. Boots on the ground from Flintstown down to Houston, man.
The problem is, we are like them. We got the right people in our minds. We got the right people in our spirits. We got them in our soul.
Woo.
We got to cleanse ourselves of the white man.
I should.
And we can live anywhere in the world and it'll be Africa.
Ever since the third grade, when I first heard we were slaves, I became a repatriate candidate. So many days I played like I was Shaka Zulu, finna take it to ya. Yeah.
But had to keep it undercover in fear of hearing my brothers call me African booty scratcher. Followed by the lack of my self-esteem, conformed to my neighborhood norms. But a soldier was born. I held on to the vision faithfully on a mission for 20 plus years. Look where it's taking me now.
Look!
Hip-hop landed in Joburg,
yeah.
Soon as I touched the tarmac,
yeah.
Eerie silence, no words to describe it, I smiled. All of a sudden became violent, mind racing through the fabrications learned as a child. After a while I settled down and then began to explode. On the trip none of my family ever took before. What was I looking for? Ancient wealth for mental health, my purpose was stealth. Later on to reveal itself in time.
The amount of our people who've been felonized so they can't get jobs in the country. The amount of our people who've gotten felonies so they can't vote, so they can't participate as citizens in the country. The amount of people shot down in the street by the police every day. The amount of people shot down by their own people because of unconsciousness, ignorance, and underdeveloped. All of those are reasons why we should be getting.
I see they looking at me weird because I'm talking about leaving here.
I
gotta keep an escape plan when they hit the fan, disappear.
Let's go.
Trump dropping bombs and he beefing with North Korea.
Trip.
Building walls, warheads, nuclear, let's be clear. Worldwide detonation, rip holes in the atmosphere. Ain't no fallout shelters to help us around here. Just dilapidated buildings that's been vacant for years.
Yeah.
All these quantum memorial blocks flooded with family tears.
Listen,
I'm seeking change though. Not no pot of gold at the end of no rainbow.
No.
Talking growing my own so I can self-sustain though.
Yeah.
Revenue streaming, yeah, I get it from every angle.
Every game.
Pass the business to my daughter, teacher, maintain growth. Swear to Jesus, rap genius, gotta break down quotes. Black folks, that's who my sound for, my style dope. My bars be powerful, that now flow. Ancient commit all the way back down to the Congo.
100 million people are not gonna do that. How do you make those linkages so Africa's extended into the diaspora? Diaspora is extended into Africa, and it is what we call one Africa, all over the world.
Couple years later, I'm back. Akwaba, Ghana, Lower Volta to be exact. Lot of study of what they took from me. Germans and Chinamen comfortably pillaged, turning villagers ugly. Workers in search of money in return for the resources they send to the country. Refining ready for use. Supply the world with 82%. That's more than a boost. Told you on the hate produce. Keep your truce. I want these pirates dead, shot in the head, bleeding profusely. Leave our diamonds and gold alone. Kowasi, cobalt, why you on the phone? Swear they just making a deal. Leo
Joyce went there, Dr. Robert Lee, Maya Angelou, Malcolm X, all went into Ghana to try to assist in the development of that nation. So that's one that's very open. Tanzania speaks English, very open. South Africa, Kenya, Nigeria. But we should go anywhere, even the countries that speak French. And many of them, you're talking about Mali, you're talking about Senegal, you're talking about Cote d'Ivoire. We should try to get to any African nation.